Thank you for this invitation. Of course, it's a pleasure to be back in Paris and in this prestigious place. So I'm not an ecosystem person. I work on Drosophila melanogaster in the lab. And my talk will be mostly on innate immunity and moving back to a kind of old question in my field, which is a function of antimicrobial peptides. So in the 80s, in Stockholm, there was a lab led by Hans Baumann that did a very interesting experiment. While most people were focusing on B-cell and T-cell and antibodies, that was called immunity, he tried to understand how insects resist microbial infections, and he focused on some large insects like that called Cecropia. And what they observed is that when you inject bacteria in some insect like that, you observe the appearance of a strong antimicrobial activity. That means the blood of the insect, which is called hemolymph, become antimicrobial. He went a bit further, and this was a start of maybe biochemistry, but he ran to see what was going on in the hemolymph and see that this correspond to peptides that were induced. And then he showed that those peptides were antimicrobial. And this led to the discovery of what is called antimicrobial peptide, which are natural antibiotics that we produce in our body. So it was Cecropin, as you can see, was published in 1981. And 2 years later, antimicrobial peptides were also found in vertebrates. And they have been found everywhere. So what are antimicrobial peptides? It's a small family of peptides, which are small, positively charged, and amphipathics. Because they are positively charged, they tend to be attracted to the cell wall of macrophages, bacteria, fungi, which are more negatively charged than our cells. Because they are amphipathic, they tend to make spores. So it's a very system. They function a lot like detergent, causing pores. But some of them have specific targets. Antimicrobial peptide has been found everywhere. It's a kind of universal mode of defense in plants, in human, in insect. They can be secreted locally by epithelia, for example, in your eyes, in your lung, in your gut. They can be expressed in granule of leukocyte. And in small insects, such as Drosophila, they can be produced also in a systemically, that means in the blood. In fact, one of the best models to study Drosophila, and this is a very old slide, best model to study antimicrobial peptide is Drosophila. And it has been shown that in this species, when you inject bacteria, what you can do with a needle, the fat body, which is, if you want, the liver, will produce a battery of antimicrobial peptides, and 7 of them have been shown to be inducible after infection. 2 of them, tosamycin and mechnicovin, are active against fungi, defensin active against gram-positive bacteria, and all the other against gram-negative bacteria. So those peptides are massively secreted, and they contribute to the elimination of microbes. Studies have shown that those antimicrobial peptides in Drosophila are inducible, and this is regulated at the transcriptional level by 2 cyanine cascades, the TOL and the IMD pathway that regulate some NF-kappa-B-like factors. So they share similarity with NF-kappa-B-like pathway. And what was interesting at that time is that flies that lack the TOL pathway or flies that lack the IMD pathway are very susceptible to infection. Okay, so they died. This was the striking phenotype. And this led, of course, to the assumption that because those TOL and IMD mutants do not express antimicrobial peptides and are susceptible to microbial infections, that antimicrobial peptides are important to infection. But in fact, nobody knew what are doing exactly antimicrobial peptides. More than that, so we should not forget that those two pathways regulate many immune genes, more than 200, and that could contribute to survival. And finally, a lab in the state, Steve Wasserman, identified a small peptide of unknown peptides that he called bomamine from Hans Baumann. And they observed that the deletion of 10 bomamine caused a susceptibility very strong, as marked as a TOL deficient mutant. So here you see bomamine mutant die almost like a TOL deficient mutant. Bomamine are peptides whose genes are regulated by the TOL pathway. So this led at the end to the idea that maybe this is bomamine that contributes to the antimicrobial activity and not the well-known antimicrobial peptide. So this come up to the idea that the question of how immune effectors mediate the human response is far from being solved, This comes to a simple idea. If you make a mutant in a signaling cascade that regulates many target genes, you see a strong phenotype. But what are the functions of all those genes? So to tackle this question, we could take advantage of CRISPR, which allows now to make mutation in small genes. That was difficult before. And so we team up with Shukondo, which have produced more than 4,000 loss-of-function mutations in Drosophila. So he gave us many of them. The work was started by a postdoc, Anatol Stelova, and is currently done by Mark Hanson in the lab. And I will summarize what we have done. So what we did is simple. It's a kind of boring approach. We did mutation in Atacin D, one mutation in drosomycin, one mutation that removes the 2 diptericin, one that removes mechticovine, a small deletion that removes Atacin A, B, and drosocine, one that removes Atacin C, and one that removes defensin C. We believe at the start that we have a deletion secropine, but it appears that the secropine was still there. So I put it in gray, unfortunately. We have now the mutant for secropines. So we got 7 mutations that remove 10 genes, and we did several rounds of isogenization to backcross them in the same background. And then we combine all together all those mutations. And we got what we call a delta antimicrobial peptide, delta AMP fly line, that lack 10 antimicrobial peptide. We observe that they have normal development. They are healthy. They activate the Toll and IMD pathway, so they are not a cytokine or regulatory molecules. And now with those lines, we can at least know what are doing those antimicrobial peptides. So what we do, we prick flies by a needle, and we do survival. Okay, so we monitor the survival of flies a long time, and we sometimes quantify the number of bacteria inside the fly to see if they are antimicrobial. First set of response, and Hans Baumann can be happy, because we observe that the delta AMP fly line are very susceptible to gram-negative bacterial infection. So you see, it's almost like lacking the IMD pathway. So here we test 3 bacteria, you see in purple, they die very fast, while the wild type in blue survive very well. Okay, then we move to gram-positive, and we can see that this corresponds to a growth of the bacteria. So you see here GFP bacteria that grow in IMD pathway mutants that lack lots of immune genes, and delta AMP, and clearly we conclude that antimicrobial peptides are indeed antibacterial. We then move to gram-positive bacteria, and here we observe that antimicrobial peptide mutants do quite well. They survive almost like the wild type, while bomamine are the most important. We don't know how bomamine works, unfortunately. And then we went to fungi, and for fungi, it's a bit more mixed. We observe that the line that lack the antimicrobial are more susceptible than the wild type, but the bomamine is also more susceptible, suggesting that both of them contribute. So this is my first conclusion. At least we know that antimicrobial play a major role against gram-negative bacteria, less important than gram-positive bacteria, and together with bomamine, they contribute to the resistance against fungi. Why it is like that, I cannot explain. Maybe antimicrobial, which are cationic, may target gram-negative bacteria because they are more negatively charged. But I cannot be sure of that. Okay. We then tackle the question why there are so many antimicrobial peptides. Okay, so in Drosophila, there is more than 14 genes that encode antimicrobial peptides. The first idea that, which is in the literature, that antimicrobial peptides function as a cocktail. You need a lot to kill a bacteria. That's the cocktail. Second idea is that they can be ultra-specific, so target one bacteria, and so you need many peptides to target many bacteria. And the third idea is that they will have other functions because in mammals and other places, they have been shown to be antiviral, anti-tumor, even cytokine. So here, I just want to highlight an example of synergy, which is shown in vitro. You have 2 antibacterial peptides, immunoptesin from the bumblebee, here, that you see here, immunoptesin that function as a detergent, and abecin that bind to a specific protein of bacteria, which is required for cell division. So you see that if you put immunoptesin on E. coli, the bacteria is not very happy, but still survive. If you put abecin, nothing happens, but if you put the 2 together, the bacteria is eliminated very fast. It's very easy to understand. One peptide makes pores that allows the other peptide to reach the target. So to tackle the question of synergy, we decided to divide our antimicrobial in 3 groups. One group C that contains the 2 antifungal peptides, mechticovine and drosomycin. One group B that removes many of them. And one group C that removes the only peptide known to be active against gram-positive bacteria, defensin. Then we combine by groups like that, A and B together, that lack A and B, etc. And we have the delta amp that lack all of them. And using this little set of lines, we can rapidly know which peptide is doing what. Do you have additivity? Do you have synergy? So I show you first the first example. This is again your yeast, Candida albicans. And here what you observe is that the fly that lack the two antifungal peptides, and we are happy, it's consistent with in vitro works, are more susceptible compared to the wild type. So indicating that those Mechnikov and endosomycin contribute. We can go a bit further and show that Mechnikov and endosomycin function in an additive manner. You know, Mechnikov mutant alone is more susceptible, drosomycin is more susceptible, and you get an additive effect. So it's a beautiful example of two additive peptides that function additively. We then were very much interested to understand the link between antibacterial peptide and Providentia redgeri. So this is a pathogen of Drosophila. It's a gram-negative bacteria. But a study by the lab of Brian Lazzaro have shown that there was a correlation between a polymorphism in the diptericin gene and a higher susceptibility or resistance to Providentia redgeri. So this is the idea that in the field, there is a polymorphism for diptericin. This correlates with higher resistance to this bacteria, suggesting maybe a harm raised between the bacteria and diptericin, and of course, maybe suggesting a very high specificity. So here you can see that the strain that contain a serine tend to be more resistant than the strain that contain arginine. So we decided to test that using online, and strikingly, the diptericin mutant is as susceptible as lacking all the IMD pathway. So if you see the delta MAD fly lines that lack all the atacin, drosocin, and mechnikovin survive like the wild type. And more than that, here we did a line that lack all the antimicrobial peptide but express diptericin, and this line survive as a wild type. So it looks like, again, this bacterium, and I cannot tell you why, one immune effector among the 200 which are regulated by the IMD pathway is doing all the job. So we have a beautiful example of very high specificity. We tested if this specificity extend to the same group of bacteria. So we went to Providentia burodogranaria. It's another species of this group. And in this case, we see that the diptericin mutant survive very well. The delta MAD that lack all those group of peptide die quite strongly. And delta MAD plus diptericin, you die like IMD mutant that lack all the antimicrobial peptide. So here we have a beautiful example of synergy between diptericin and some peptide deleted in the delta MAD fly line. We could observe another example of high specificity, which is a case of drosocin that was very efficient, again, enterobacter cloquet, another. You see where drosocin mutant die almost like an IMD pathway mutant. So to conclude the second part of these things, I show you evidence for synergy between peptide, diptericin in the case of Providentia buronogrea, additivity in the case of the yeast, I show you Candida albicans, but also of remarkable specificity. So this suggests that in the wild, there is probably different polymorphisms persisting. Some of them confer resistance, and when there is an infection, they are selected and they spread in the population. But now I would like to speak about another question, which is antimicrobial peptide beyond immunity. And in Drosophila, the expression of antimicrobial peptide is a hallmark of aging. So if you take all flies, antimicrobial peptide are always very hot. So this is called, if you want, this idea of inflammaging, that when you age in human, you get a kind of chronic low activation of the immune system, which is usually considered to be deleterious. We don't know why those genes are turned on, but when you do aging and you do macroarray, you see antimicrobial peptide. Here I summarize a study done by a colleague from Oxford, Petros Digoxigakis, and he looked where antimicrobial peptide were induced. And he observed that antimicrobial peptide were expressed induced in the brain of the flies, and they were induced in the glial cells. The glial cells are the macrophage of the brain, which are involved in the health of the brain. He observes that all flies have kind of brain lesions that you can see here, and you see which characterize aging in flies. And he observes that when you silence the IMD pathway, so when you block the expression of antimicrobial peptide, but you do more than that, the flies tend to age better and have a longer life expectancy. So what is good now is that we are our flies, and we can say, is it due to antimicrobial peptide? And here I show you two results. The first one is a survival experiment that show that flies that lack antimicrobial peptides seems to live longer. Okay, so here it's example done with a line, in fact, that lack the peptide which are on the second chromosome, they tend to survive longer. More than that, in Drosophila, to test the brain activity, we do a climbing assay, where we monitor the capacity of flies to climb. It's a way to test if the brain is good. And you see here that at 40 days old, lines that lack the antimicrobial seems to do better. So here we are working a bit more to try to understand that. And it seems that antimicrobial could be deleterious. And here I think we have a kind of a good example of maybe a trade-off. High expression of antimicrobial upon aging may be toxic or metabolically costly. So antimicrobial are good when you are young to resist infections, but they could contribute to the aging of your brain. And this correlates with other studies done in other organisms. Now I would like to discuss another paper that was done by a colleague, a French postdoc, Jean-Philippe Parvy, in the lab of Julia Cordero, but I'm collaborator of this study. I'm just, he did all the work, but I did little things, suggesting a role in antibacterial peptides contribute to tumor cell elimination. So these labs, and in many Drosophila labs, they are interested about tumors and try to understand the mechanism between tumors. And one model of tumor is this DLG tumor. It's a developmental gene which is mutated and causes an enlargement of the imaginal disc. Okay? And studies from this lab have suggested that there was a contribution of the immune system to control the tumor. They could show that hemocytes, the blood cells of Drosophila, bind to the tumor and activate IGERs, and that is called cell death, and they suggested the contribution of the Toll pathway. But at that time, they didn't know what contributed to tumor elimination. So they did a macroarray between wild type and mutant larvae that contain those tumors and observed that one gene that appeared to be strongly induced was defensin, an antibacterial peptide. They observed that defensin was produced by the fat body and the trachea. And then, using our mutant, so that's my only contribution to this beautiful study, they observed that in the defensin mutant, the tumor is much bigger. In the tumor, if you monitor apoptosis by using DCP1, it's a way to monitor apoptosis, you see tumors. But when you use the defensin mutant, you don't see any more apoptosis, suggesting that maybe defensin could be a factor that triggers apoptosis of tumor cells and constrains the tumor. They look a bit further and observe that clearly defensin using an antibody seems to correlate in terms of localization to the site of cells which are undergoing apoptosis. Now the question, antibacterial peptides are cationic peptides, they are not to bind to bacteria because they are negatively charged, but not to eukaryotic cells. How they bind to tumors? And here, they observe that cells that undergo tumors change their membrane. And this has been shown also for cancer cells. They tend to be more negatively charged and to express markers that can bind with annexin 5. They expose, in fact, phosphatidylserine, which is the inner lipid in the inner layer, to the outside. And they observe that, in fact, defensin localization on the tumor seems to correlate with the site of expression of phosphatidylserine. And then, to finish their study, they observe that in Iger mutants that lack the TNF homologue, there is no expression of phosphatidyl in the tumor and no elimination of the cell. So at the end, I leave you their model. According to their model, hemocytes recognize the tumor cells. This trigger a pathway TNF, I will not go to detail, that lead to the exposition of phosphatidylserine. And this makes those cells then sensitive to the action of antibacterial peptide that will clean the cells. And this is just published, but it's one of the rare papers that suggests the role of antibacterial peptide in vivo against tumor cells. As you may know, antimicrobial peptides are used now as a kind of alternate way to treat tumors. But this is an example in vivo. So here we end up with this idea. Antimicrobial peptide by their structure could be very efficient against microbes, which are negatively charged. They could also be efficient against tumorous cells, which are old cells, for example, of the brain, or tumor cells that tend to express negatively charged phospholipid. So it could be used as a way to eliminate cells which are aberrant, and we could speculate that during aging, for example, neurodegeneration, there is a kind of this activation of the immune system could, in some way, eliminate some neurons which are still useful. And I will stop here. I mentioned the people that did the work, Mark Hanson and Anna Dostalova in my lab, on this project in collaboration with Shu Kondo. And the story I mentioned was done by Jean-Philippe Harvey and Julia Cordero. Thank you.